Straight Talk on WRHI-FM 100.1 and CN2 is presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Now here's Manning Kimmel broadcasting live from Substation 2 on Cherry Road in Rock Hill with Straight Talk, selected by the South Carolina Broadcasters Association as the state's top public affairs program.
And welcome into another edition of our Straight Talk program. Tyler Cupp in for Manning Kimmel. He has the day off. Straight Talk, of course, broadcasts live every day from Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, brought to you by our friends at Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. And by Anderson Griggs Investments in Old Town Rock Hill. Common sense, intelligent advice for conservative investors. Find out more online at AndersonGriggs.com. Also with us today, Good Pharmacy, your hometown pharmacy, Ebenezer Road and Camden Avenue in Rock Hill, and by Piedmont Medical Center, a community built on care, PiedmontMedicalCenter.com. Here with us is Leah Youngblood with the City of Rock Hill. She is their planning and development director. And Leah, I was so excited when I got the call this morning that it was you. I know that we had some schedule mix-ups a little bit in the last couple weeks or so, but the most we ever talk is when we see each other at RFATS.
Right.
And I keep telling you, hey, we got to get you on Palmetto Mornings to about, you know, stuff that's going on. Well, we got you on Straight Talk, so we got a full 30 minutes to go over a lot of the stuff that's been happening in the city of Rock Hill, whether it comes to zoning and business and affordable housing and whatnot. But let's start with something that happened not too long ago. For some people, it feels like forever ago. Others feels like, you know, just this past weekend, depending on how you were affected. And that is the storm damage that took place in late April. You're handling a lot of different facets to this when it comes to dealing with the contractors and permits, and also a program that we talked about briefly on the news, the Housing Development Corporation having like an assistance program,
right,
trying to help people in need. So if you could kind of expound upon all the different facets of this that you're looking at.
So in the Planning and Development Department, our main role is to evaluate building permits. So we have been working with local contractors and contractors, even from out of state, who've come in to try to help with the situation, make sure that they get the proper permits, they have the right licenses. We've been educating a lot of the residents about what is required, so they're not just handing over cash to people that they may never see again and might not do the best job on their roof or siding or windows, for example. We have had a very high volume of that. Our average number of permits per month is about 300, and in May we had 1,500 permits, and that's almost exclusively related to the storm damage.
Wow. Now, you know, one of the things me and Manning talked about this morning when he told me you were going to be our guest, and talking to Katie Quinn as well with the City of Rock Hill, people may think, well, my goodness, that was, you know, 2 months ago, 2 months plus ago, but this stuff takes some time to with these permits and, you know, the work that needs to be done and, you know, certain insurance requirements. This stuff takes some time, and there are still a lot of people in the City of Rock Hill, specifically on the south side, that still need help.
That's right. That's absolutely true. We haven't really seen a taper off in the number of permits we're seeing every day, and I think that's largely because insurance companies have taken time to weigh through all of the claims and try to make sure people are getting what they need from them. And so we're still seeing a good number of permits every day. I expect that to continue for at least the next few weeks, if not months. The storm damage area hit about 20,000 homes, and so if we've done 1,500 permits, there's a lot still to go if all of them end up needing that kind of assistance. The program that you mentioned that I'd like to plug a little bit is through the Housing Development Corporation. And basically, we've determined that about 35 homes are eligible for this assistance. They're mostly heirs' properties where they don't have clear title, you know, passed down from generation to generation, and don't have insurance. And so we've identified those that need help. We've done about 14 of them, primarily roofs, with the help of local builders, both commercial and residential, and donations of materials and monetary donations from the community. And we cannot do any more. So we've done 14, there's 35 eligible, unless we get more donations. And so I'd like to plug that just on behalf of the community. If anyone's able to help, they can go to the Housing Development Corporation's website, which is hdcrh.org, and find the button there to donate.
Are you able to see some of the work that still needs to be done? I guess the requests that people are asking for, the stuff that, again, people like maybe, you know, me and Manning, who didn't see as much damage. I know he saw a lot. It happened to his SUV. But in terms of, like, the home damage and the yard damage, are you able to see some of the different types of requests? And are you able to go into that a little bit?
It's been roofs, but also siding. Okay. And windows have been affected. And automobiles. I mean, that's not something that my department deals with. That's more of a private sector issue. But a lot of people lost a lot of automobiles that are just totaled. The city organization, for example, I mean, a lot of our police fleet and PRT fleet and our building inspectors' trucks, for example, all had significant windshield damage. And I know that the community as a whole experienced that as well.
I think it was the Monday afternoon after the storm, because the storm was like on a weekend. It was like a
Saturday.
Yeah, Saturday night. I think it was either a Sunday afternoon or Monday afternoon following the storm. I had talked to friends that had seen the damage and were helping, you know, in the efforts. And I just went and drove. And I mean, just still, I am kind of couldn't believe what I saw. It's like a completely, it was as if, you know, it's a completely different area.
Right.
It's the same city.
Right.
But just that one area got hit so hard.
It did.
Just unbelievable.
It did.
So I want to go backwards a little bit because we kind of jumped right into the storm stuff. But when it comes to doing what you do, being the planning and development director, a lot of titles are always thrown around, but what exactly does that mean? Planning and development, what does that mean? What are you the director of, Leah?
So the easiest way to explain it is that we have 5 to 6 divisions that, depending on how you look at them, we have a permit application center that handles the permits for building permits and zoning permits and business licensing. Then we have a building inspections team that reviews commercial projects and then goes and inspects them. And then we have an infrastructure team that reviews development projects for water, sewer, stormwater, and roads, as well as people who inspect for each of those areas. And we have zoning, which does a whole myriad of topics ranging from annexations and rezonings to zoning board of appeals meetings, historic preservation, and a lot of things in between. And then we have long-range planning, which does comprehensive planning. So looking out, you know, 20, 30 years, what does the community want to be like? And then a lot of small area plans. And then we have transportation planning, which we have a city transportation planner. And then we also house RFATS, which is the regional MPO office out of the city offices.
So you talked about transportation. You mentioned RFATS. That's the Rock Hill Fort Mill Area Transportation Study. That is where we have some of our conversations, the meetings that happen once a month. David Hooper does a phenomenal job, the director of RFATS. And it's one of the more fascinating meetings that I would encourage the public to go to, because it is where so many local leaders are sitting in a round table.
Right.
And I know there's been talk of, you know, tension between city and county over the years, but you've got city council and county council members sitting right next to each other.
Right.
And they're working for the common goal of making sure we alleviate traffic and we, you know, find a way to fix the growth that's coming, fix it rather than, you know, basically have room for it. And they look at roads in Fort Mill and TKK and Indian Land and, you know, Rock Hill, York County. And I always wondered why you were there, and just hearing everything you went through, that's why. You want to know what projects are coming your way.
Yes.
So you can start working on them.
Right, that's true. Most of the planning directors for those organizations attend those meetings. And it is all, you know, York County, TKK, Fort Mill, Lancaster County. Mm-hmm. All of those have representatives on this policy committee, which are made up of the local elected officials. So for example, Rock Hill has 4 that are also city council members. And we go just to, A, keep tabs of what's going on, but we're also now part of a land use planning subcommittee that RFATS formed a couple of years ago, and they've asked us to make some recommendations about some policy changes that potentially different organizations could adopt as part of the long-range transportation plan update later this fall. And so we're also there to help know what's going on so we can work on that together.
So let's talk about some of those roads. You said you had experience on one in particular, but I am going to ask you about another that has a lot of people talking. Let's start with the one you know a little bit more on, and that is, I guess that's Exit 82 with Rock Hill, York, Celanese, all that. Cherry Road. So take me through this, what they're trying to do. They're looking at a bunch of different plans.
Right.
They have not finalized what they're doing,
no.
but they're, I think at one point there were 12 different configurations in one presentation, but there's a lot of different things they're looking at for this.
Right. So the consultant that's been hired to review this has looked at 7 different options, including a couple of sub-options. So, yes, probably more along the lines of 9 or so. Has ruled out about 4 of them completely. They just didn't work to improve anything long-term from an operational standpoint. And really now has narrowed it down to about 3 that are under consideration. And before the RFATS meeting on Friday, the policy committee meeting, there will be a work group to go into those alternatives in more detail. And I would encourage anybody who's interested in quitting yourself to come watch that discussion so they can ask a lot more technical questions than we have time to do in the policy committee meetings themselves.
And some of the ways they were trying to alleviate traffic, I think one of them was a flyover. Is that still one of the options?
One of them was a flyover / fly under. It's one of the 3 options that I would say is still on the table for consideration. It's obviously the most expensive option, but it does have some benefits that need to be considered long-term for the community. At the end of the day, is it the winning option? I don't know. That's the policy committee's decision, but it's one of the ones that they'll talk about on Friday.
And I guess when it comes to once they eventually vote on this, your part is what? Once they vote on it, then it comes to the city of Rock Hill and York County looking at this stuff. Where do you take it from there?
We'll review it like we review any road plans within the jurisdiction, but primarily the SCDOT would take the design and construction from there. We'll provide input and guidance along the way, but a lot of it at that point would be driven more by the SCDOT.
Okay. So let's look at another intersection, which will take us to an actual property that you wanted to talk about. I guess it's called Palmetto Parkway now.
Right.
You know, for years, some people joked that it was the road to nowhere. And that, of course, is the old Panther site. It's the Hutchinson site interchange. So before we get into the site and talk about, you know, the plans that the city of Rock Hill would like to see there, I think, how can I put this? You can turn right, but you can't go left. Is that accurate?
It's temporarily accurate, but so you can go east,
yes,
into the Riverwalk Industrial Park area now, and hopefully any day now you will be able to go west to go to Mount Gallant Road, and so that connection is to come very soon.
And I thought it was a great job by everybody involved of getting that one part open right before the BMX World Championships. I mean, my goodness, you couldn't ask for a better time for that thing to get open for so many people to go up that road and ride over to Riverwalk.
Yes, with it definitely helped.
And alleviated all the traffic, even the people that aren't going to the BMX. It alleviated so much traffic going down 77.
Right.
So let's talk about the Hutchinson site. There's a lot to this. There's obviously a massive history that we're not going to go into. You know it is the old Panther site of what was going to go there, but now it's not, and now we have to move on, and now we have to look at what we want there. So on your end, what's this process been like? Where are we at right now with this site?
Well, I would say that we are considering any inquiries that come to the city. They go directly to the city manager, who takes any that he thinks might have any interest by the city council members. The city council kind of discusses if we want to move forward with them. We don't have any active development plans in review officially from anyone on that site. And I think that, you know, based on what the mayor said publicly about this, we're sort of taking our time because it's our one opportunity. We, you know, the city owns it. We acquired it in the bankruptcy to really shape the future of the community in that area for decades to come. And we don't want to mess it up, and we don't want to rush to just get something in to get something in.
So, and we can go into this a little bit. We talked about it all fair. Geddes has said it publicly of the type of development that he would like to see, I guess maybe, you know, spark the fire. You know, get spark that first piece of development of which you can then build out and build around. So could you go into that just a little bit?
Yes. So we put the site through the state's economic development program, which is called Palmetto Sites, last year. And one of the key recommendations that came back was biomedical life sciences. And so obviously we'd be interested in that. High skill manufacturing with, you know, high paying jobs also would be of interest. I know that things we have publicly said we are not interested in for that property is distribution centers, warehouses that, you know, take up a lot of land but don't have a lot of jobs that come with them, as well as high-density residential. So I think anything else is kind of on the table, but if we had our pick, we would go more into the research, development, life sciences, biomedical type fields.
And I know at the very first conversations about this. Mayor Geddes was extremely open about the process. He came on Palm in the Mornings very early on in this process, and you know, he brought up the idea of possibly like a Kingsley type, but you know, wants to focus more on what you talked about, you know, biomedical type development. When it comes to that, have you guys seen the studies and the research of once something like that comes in, the build out will come, kind of like, you know, Field of Dreams, you build it, they will come, more will come along with this?
I've not personally seen any studies on that exact question for this property, but yes, I think that's how it works in economic development. And I can see that some mixed-use office, residential, retail, restaurant project might be a component of this. It's a big site, so I think that we could potentially carve it up into different sections and have different activities going on throughout.
So to update with this Hutchinson site and the interchange, you mentioned that they hope to have the other part of it, that western part of it, done by the end of the summer.
Right.
Yeah, that's the hope there. And then, of course, the site we talked about, kind of a biomedical type development that would bring more jobs. And then, of course, once you have the centerpiece, you would have more build out from it. Let's go to downtown Rock Hill. We're talking with Leah Youngblood, Planning and Development Director with the City of Rock Hill. Talk to me a little bit about the Thread Phase 2 when it comes to residential there. I feel like we haven't talked about this development in quite some time.
So the Thread is the old Springs Creative building downtown off White Street. It's giant, as anyone who's seen it knows. It's about 400,000 square feet. And basically they have created offices on the first phase of that, which was about 170,000 square feet and about 30,000 square feet of retail, leaving the remainder of the building available for apartments. They're looking at building about 150 apartments in that structure.
Oh, wow. 150 apartments.
Right.
Oh, okay. Wow. In the City Sports Arena near the roundabout now, is this the note you put here? Is this the new structure?
Right.
Yeah, so give me kind of a refresher course on the new structure.
So obviously we have the Sports and Events Center downtown and University Center that's been very successful, so successful that it needed its own spinoff building nearby to be able to help house more tournaments. We needed a few more courts, and so we are currently working on a project that would build more courts in the general vicinity off of Lee Street, Lee and Stewart. White is the other boundary there. So that we can help host larger tournaments going forward, and then the community can obviously be able to use the facility when tournaments aren't being hosted there for different activities.
You know, it sounds so obvious once you hear it, but in our job of radio, we call what we see. And I remember David Vihan, one of the first things, the city manager for City of Rock Hill, one of the first things he said about this new structure is that, think about the millions of dollars that will then come to City of Rock Hill, continue to come.
Right.
And not just for the events to host it, but also for the restaurants and the hotels. Those restaurants, they're all up there near the Sports and Events Center. Think how they will be benefited. Think how the hotels will be benefited. Everybody wins.
Right. That's right. Sports tourism has always been a really large part of the Rock Hill economy. And if you see the charts, if you ever come to any of the public meetings he's had where he shows all these bar charts, it's amazing to see the difference that that indoor facility has made. And so this will just allow us to do that even on an even larger scale in the future.
And can you, again, the roundabout, that with the roads of where that actually is going to be, can you go over that one more time?
So basically the roundabout, which is at Constitution and White Street, the project area would be Stewart, Lee, White Street and Constitution.
Okay.
So right now, right south of the roundabout's a grove of trees that will remain, and then south of that, between there and the substation property, basically, it's just east of the substation.
Thank you. I just had someone text. So can you ask her again? So there you go. All right, it's time now for our mid-program break. I want to remind you that you are listening to Substation 2, and we are listening to Straight Talk. And we're broadcast live from Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop. Brought to you by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. And here at Substation 2, they make fresh subs and salad. That salad looked amazing, by the way. And how do they do it? With a magical ingredient. We'll do it in 3, 2, 1. Slice, slice, slice. Slice. Garden, garden, garden. Back with more.
If it's 12:30, it's Straight Talk on WRHI and CN2.
There are lots of reasons why people like dining at Substation 2.
Hit the spot, definitely.
Friends are great, and the company's great, and the food is fantastic. Bread's fresh, and they make my special for me every day.
I'm Charlie Ruffalo, and I guarantee you'll feel the same way after eating here at Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop.
Our common sense investing is not designed to take your life savings, roll the dice, and make you rich. We design a plan to keep the standard of living you have grown accustomed to the same throughout your retirement, be it 20, 30, or even 40 more years. Anderson Griggs Investments, 324-5044, or online at andersongriggs.com.
The Piedmont Medical Center Women's Tower at our Rock Hill campus boasts fully furnished labor and delivery rooms and family care suites. Our Level 3 NICU is equipped to provide advanced medical treatments for premature infants and infants who may have complications. Inside the Women's Tower, families begin bonding with their special deliveries in private family care suites, allowing mom and baby to relax with ease. Learn more at PiedmontMedicalCenter.com. Piedmont Medical Center, a community built on care.
When disaster strikes, one of the most important things is getting life back to normal. A little compassion can go a long way. Paul Davis is here for you. Paul Davis is committed to handling any property damage with exceptional care, because what we do is about more than property. It's about people. We have the training and expertise necessary to completely restore your property fast. For all your cleanup and restoration needs, call the experts at Paul Davis Restoration at 329-1140 or find us online at pauldavisrockhill.com.
Relax this summer with a promotional rate on select travel purchases with your Founders Federal Credit Union credit card. Now through August 31st, get 6.99% APR for 6 months on qualifying purchases, including airfare, hotels, restaurants, and cruise lines. Don't let interest rates slow you down this summer. Visit foundersfcu.com/travel to learn more. On March 1st, 2025, the promotional APR reverts to the effective APRs previously disclosed. Call 800-845-1614 for details about credit costs and terms. Membership qualification required.
Have you ever wondered why so many people enjoy dining at Substation 2?
Good fresh food, even fresher than Subway. And it's also on a paleo diet.
I like the people. I like the food. And being picked on.
I'm Charlie Ruffalo, and I guarantee you'll feel the same way after eating here at Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop.
Straight Talk on WRHI-FM 100.1 and CN2 is brought to you by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders.
And back we are here once again on a Straight Talk program broadcast live from Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, brought to you by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. And with us today, Anderson Griggs Investments in Old Town Rock Hill. Common sense, intelligent advice for conservative investors. Find out more online at AndersonGriggs.com. Finishing our conversation with Leah Youngblood. She is the Planning and Development Director with the City of Rock Hill. And Leah, we talked a lot about economic development. We talked a lot about transportation. Well, having all those things, got to have a place to live, right?
You do.
I know that PRT... Rock Hill PR2 does a phenomenal job. By the way, hat tip to John Taylor. I saw his send-off on Monday. That was very well done. Those guys deal with the play part of the live, work, and play. They're the play part. You deal with the live and work part.
That's
so
true.
Let's go into some of that. When it comes to affordable housing, you know, there was a moratorium a couple years ago that was lifted. And I know, I say a couple years ago because I'm curious, in that time, from when it was lifted to now, what are you seeing as the planning development director in terms of requests and people wanting to come in, you know, kind of the nuts and bolts of the possibility of more affordable housing in Rock Hill?
So I think in the past few years, we have seen a number of apartment complexes that would be more affordable, not necessarily market rate, but more designed for an affordable housing type of resident. Come on board. And so we have everything from the apartments that were just built at Constitution, you know, stones throw away from here, to apartments going up across from the Operations Center off Anderson Road and other locations. So I think that we will have more units coming online in the next couple of years from the multifamily standpoint. In terms of affordable single family, I think the construction costs are just too high for any new single-family construction to really be considered affordable.
Now, let me ask this question. I meant to bring this up to you off air because I didn't know if it was a ignorant or bad question, but you mentioned the construction costs. But how often do you see a company come in and say, we want to charge this much for single-family affordable housing or this much for apartments, and you guys are like, that's too much. That's not affordable housing to us, because they're obviously fixing that rate, right? How often do you get something like that? Because as we talked about off air, affordable housing to one is not to the other.
Right. We don't necessarily control what people are charging in terms of rents, and certainly not what people are selling single-family residential homes for. Occasionally, if we have, for example, a land development agreement with a project, such as a couple we have downtown, we require a certain number of units to be affordable, and we verify every year that they're not. They haven't gone up on the rent on those particular units, but as a whole, for projects outside of that project, it's really the market that's determining the rates.
And obviously, they control that. Maybe. But I guess what I was trying to get at, will you guys turn it down if you think it's too high of what
no,
they want to charge?
So first of all, typically these would involve rezoning, so it would be the city council decision, not staff.
Right.
However, we need more units, period. Mm. And so I think that affordable or not, depending on the location that they're proposed, if it makes sense, based on, you know, transportation or economic development interests, and et cetera, other considerations, I don't think council would necessarily turn down a project because it was going to be more expensive.
So you think once construction costs, if they go down, you think you'll see more affordable housing in Rock Hill?
I do think that it slowed down some.
Is that kind of the big factor, though?
I think it is.
Is that what you're trying to say? That's the big factor?
To me, it's what I see. It's what I hear. It's what I'm hearing from the developers. The construction costs are just too high. And it's nationwide right now. Unfortunately, we just have a lot of people, or fortunately, depending on how you look at it, a lot of people moving to the greater Charlotte metro who are looking for homes, and the demand is far outpaced the supply.
Yeah. Hmm. All right, so tell me about the comp plan update. We got a couple of minutes here. The comp plan update, that process is underway.
Right. So the comprehensive plan, we're required under state law to kind of dust it off every 5 years and then really take a hard look at it every 10. And we are in the cycle of dusting it off and looking at whether the four main goals that we have in the current plan still make sense going forward. And so that's grow inside first. So trying to encourage more development downtown and other infill areas than out on the periphery of the city, providing better connections like we've just talked about with some of the transportation stuff, reinforcing strong neighborhoods, and then a long one, which is ensuring functionality with inspiring design, which has to do with creating a good sense of place and public facilities and that type of thing. So do those still make sense going forward for the future is what we're looking at. And we hope to have that done by the end of December of 25.
Of next year. Okay. Last thing, we always try to give an update on the South Side revitalization here in the city of Rock Hill. There was a decision made this past Monday where council members agreed to put off a particular project for good reason. If you could kind of go through that, because that I think that's a bit newsworthy, something that's been talked about for quite some time.
This is the Emmett Scott one?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So on Monday night, the city was looking to potentially request a condemnation from city council, or to start that process, rather, for a piece of property that's adjacent to the Emmett Scott Center for additional parking. But we've not been able to track down the property owner in spite of many, many attempts. And so council deferred action on that so that a couple of the city council members could try to go knock on the door, knock on neighbors' doors, and see if they could find this person so that we don't have to go through a condemnation proceeding.
You know, I'm not sure what you can say on that south side with like 90 seconds to go, but it feels like all the conversations we hear from the people working on that, it feels like they're one development away, one like something coming in from really having that take off, that whole revitalization project take off. Am I pretty close on that?
I think that it would help. I think that depending on what the type of development is, obviously some drive more.
Or a project of some sort, right?
Yes.
Feels like they're one project away from having something where people start take notice, like, well, they just went in there.
Yes.
Let's go check that out.
I agree with that.
Yeah.
A catalyst project would be really helpful.
Yeah, to kind of spark that fire. Very good. And lastly, the short-term rentals. It's kind of over. I guess we got 60 seconds here, but there is a lawsuit still going on with there. We have a lot of people that deal with short-term rentals listening in.
Yes, we do. We still have the lawsuit active, underway. In the meantime, we're still permitting short-term rental units. If anyone's interested, certainly reach out. They are still allowed in the city of Rock Hill. So if anyone has a location they want to talk about, just give us a call.
Leah Youngblood, thank you so much. The City Planning and Development Director for the City of Rock Hill. You've been listening to Straight Talk, broadcast live from Substation 2. They make fresh subs and salads 6 days a week, but a magical way they do it. 3, 2, 1, slice, 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 slice. Garden, garden, garden. Garden.